If you've been here the last few weeks, you will know, of course, that we have been studying what we've called and what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And as we talked about a few weeks ago and have been looking since then, the fear of the Lord is something that has all kinds of different facets, like a diamond sparkling off light in any number of different directions. The fear of the Lord biblically has many different angles to look at it. We've looked at a few of those over the last few weeks. The first week we talked about how fearing the Lord is knowing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If you want to fear the Lord, you need to know the Lord. You need to know what He's like. It is the kind of reverence that comes from knowing God and knowing His character, knowing how holy He is, knowing how powerful He is, knowing how sovereign He is. That is knowing God, and as a result, fearing Him. Respecting Him, reverencing Him. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fear of God as that which is to hate evil. If we know God and therefore have a respect for who God is, if we know His character, we will know that He is holy and therefore He hates evil. He hates sin in all its forms wherever it afflicts us, and therefore Scripture says, ye that fear the Lord, to fear the Lord is to depart from evil. And we talked about what that meant to fear the Lord in terms of shunning evil whenever it comes around you, but not only that, rejecting evil that is inside you and that you are tempted to in your daily life. Last week, we talked about the fear of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, as 2 Corinthians 5 puts it, as being that which makes us desire to please God in every single thing that we do, because we know that He is going to judge us one day. Jesus Christ is going to stand at His judgment seat, and each one of us, yes, Christians, will stand before Him and be judged for what they did. And because of that terror, because of that fear that we know we are going to stand before Him one day, what comes out of that is a healthy respect and fear that says, I want to make sure you are pleased with every single thing that I'm doing. We've looked at it from these three aspects. But perhaps there's been a nagging question in your mind over the last few weeks. Perhaps as we've explained biblically what the fear of the Lord is, a question has come into your mind that has said, do I fear the Lord? Perhaps a doubt has sprung into your mind that was put there by the Holy Spirit and said, I don't hate evil like the Bible says I should. Maybe a thought came into your mind that said, you know what? I don't know God and His character like the knowledge of the holy is supposed to be. That's not me. Maybe a thought came into your mind last week as you were listening to the sermon. You said, you know what? My number one goal in life is not pleasing God. That's not the first and foremost thought on my mind when I wake up in the morning. God, may I please you today with every word and every thought. As the psalmist says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Maybe that is far from us, some of us. Maybe we've seen ways big and small as I've seen in my own life over these last few weeks where I've been forced to go to God and say, God, I'm not there. I'm not there like I should be. I don't fear you like I should. If you are like me over these weeks, whereas we've looked at the facets of the fear of the Lord, you say, Lord, I need to fear you more. I need to fear you in a way that I do not currently right now. It's not my present reality. Then this message is for you. Because this is a message about how we fear the Lord. This is not just a message about what the fear of the Lord looks like or should look like. It's not just a message about why we fear the Lord. It is a message about how to fear the Lord. If you're with me saying, I got to fear the Lord more, then Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2 gives us an answer. And I'm really going to use three verbs today, three words to understand how to fear the Lord. These three words are choosing, seeking, finding. Those are going to be our 3 points this morning. Choosing, seeking, finding. And may the Holy Spirit give illumination to our hearts this morning where we need to grow in this area of the fear of the Lord. First of all, choosing. Choosing. How does developing the fear of the Lord in our life in certain areas depend on a choice that we make? You know, I draw your attention to verse 29. Wisdom in this passage, in starting in chapter, in verse 20 of Proverbs 1, wisdom is personified as speaking. Wisdom is depicted as a person. It's a picture. It's an illustration. And the picture is that wisdom is standing up in a place and calling out to people. Have you ever walked by a street preacher on the corner of Nicollet Avenue, or someone who was hawking a political candidate or a product, and they were standing on the corner shouting out to people to trying to get them to listen? This is the picture here of wisdom standing on the street corner and say, "Hey, listen up, everybody." And wisdom is talking, and wisdom is speaking to people. Wisdom is saying to them, "You know what? You didn't want anything to do with me. You didn't want to do anything with gaining wisdom and knowledge." And wisdom here is giving a judgment against these people. But look at verse 29. "For that they," these people who rejected wisdom, "they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." They did not choose the fear of the Lord. That tells me something. Whether you fear the Lord, as the Bible says you are to fear the Lord, is a matter of your choice. You either choose to fear the Lord or you choose not to fear the Lord. And wisdom is going to hold you accountable. God Himself is going to hold you accountable for the choice that you make. Now we get another aspect of this choice here when we move into verse 2, because now the contrast comes in. Now suddenly it is a father speaking to his child and saying, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom," and on it goes. Notice the third word in that chapter. My son, what's that next word? If. My son, if. Now, we use conditionals all the time. The Bible uses conditionals all the time. If you do this, then you will receive this. If this happens, then this will happen. It is a logical condition. It is a chain. And here, what the proverb writer is telling us is, if you want to understand the fear of the Lord, it starts with a choice. Notice what verse 5 tells us about this choice. If these conditions are met, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. You want the fear of the Lord? There's an if-then for you. There's a condition on it. Do you want the fear of the Lord in your life in a greater way than you've seen it today? Well, there's a choice that needs to be made. Now, what does this choice involve? What does this choice involve? Well, it says something about who we are. It says something about who we are, whether we want the fear of the Lord. Notice what Scripture says about these people who refused wisdom. Verse 24 of chapter 1 says, "Because I have called," wisdom has called, "and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel." What does that mean? You disdained it. You had nothing to do with it. You turned away from it, "and would none of my reproof." You would have none of it. You didn't want to hear it. Then, look at verse 30. "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." There is someone, a kind of person who refuses to be taught. A kind of person who will not learn. Have you ever talked to someone like this? You've come up to someone and they make a statement and they're demonstrably wrong, and you say, "I'm sorry, you're wrong about that." And they will fight to the death to defend themselves being right, even though everyone knows they're wrong. But you know, perhaps we're a little bit more like that in certain ways than we'd like to admit it. Perhaps we see that picture of being a little hard-hearted, a little stubborn. In our own ways, I just see kind of wives looking at their husbands out of the corner of their eye. Are you listening to this? Are you listening to this? But no, that's all of us in certain ways. And this person who does not choose the fear of the Lord is the person whose character is unwilling to accept being taught. That's why the person who chooses the fear of the Lord in verse 2 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," if you'll take them into you, if you'll listen to them and install them in your lives and hide my commandments with you. It starts with a choice to listen and to accept counsel. Friend, do you know what this choice involves? It involves an awareness of who you are. Because the person who rejects the fear of the Lord, who does not choose the fear of the Lord, is the person who says, "I don't need it. God, I don't need to please you in my life. I'm getting along just fine pleasing myself. God, I don't need to have you involved in every one of my decisions because I'm making decisions okay on my own accord. I don't need you to hate evil with, I don't need to hate evil like you do because I kind of enjoy the evil that's around me." There is this stubbornness that says, "I don't need you, God." But the person who chooses the fear of the Lord is the person who says, "God, I need you every day. God, I need you not just every day, I need you every hour. I need you every moment. If I get off track from your path, I am going down the wrong path altogether because I know myself. I know that I'm like one of those sheep that are prone to wander, as the hymn says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That is the teachable person who says, "God, I need you." Now, which of those two looks more like us this morning? Which of those looks like us in terms of our choice that we're making, whether we are going to fear the Lord or whether we are not going to fear the Lord? Do you know what is the great enemy to this choice of fearing the Lord is complacency. Complacency says, "I'm doing fine right now." Complacency says, "My spiritual life is okay where it is right now." It doesn't say with the songwriter, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, but still onward until heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground." No, we say, "Lord, I'm kind of fine with where I am right now. I'll check off the boxes of my religious habits of reading my Bible this morning and praying. I'll show up on Sunday morning. I don't believe that there's any need for me to be involved in the body of Christ. Other than that, I'll check it off the list. I'm good for this week. I'll see you again next Sunday morning. God, I just need to check off these lists. I'm fine with where I am." You see, that's a choice. Complacency is a choice. And that person who is content, who is complacent, is the one who is making a choice not to fear the Lord, who is instead fine and comfortable where they are. There is a choice. You know, I saw a story this week that was great, that really piqued my attention. There's a man named Forrest Fenn. Forrest Fenn is a wealthy art dealer, an elderly gentleman, in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Forrest Fenn gained a lot of attention a few years back when he announced that he had buried treasure someplace in the Rocky Mountains. He had taken perhaps up to as much as $2 million worth of gold, jewels, diamonds, emeralds, all these precious jewels, and he had found a spot. All he would say is that it was in the Rocky Mountains at about 5,000 feet of elevation, somewhere between Santa Fe and the Canadian border. A little bit of surface area there, right? Way down in New Mexico, way up to the Canadian border. And in a book that he wrote, he provided clues to how to find that treasure. How to find that precious, those precious jewels, up to $2 million worth. This story that I was reading on, it said that tens of thousands of people have gone searching for that treasure. tens of thousands. There was one in particular that detailed his experience in a blog. He was a 31-year-old man, a sales account manager or something like that, and from the East Coast. He was so fascinated by this story that he packed up, bought a plane ticket, flew out to Santa Fe, drove 3 hours, and started looking. There's another story of a man who quit his job, he was actually a retired guy. He just left Florida and he moved to New Mexico, or Colorado, so he could start looking for this. You know, each of those people made a choice. You know, each one of those treasure hunters made a choice that there was something valuable that they needed and didn't have. They were looking for that $2 million. They were looking for it, and they said, I need it. And there was a settled choice. That's what it means to choose the fear of the Lord, to say, this is going to be my fixed choice, choosing. But secondly, seeking. Not just choosing, but seeking. Notice what chapter 2 says about what this search looks like. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Now, I want you to imagine those people that went out searching for those jewels that were hid there somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Those people who took GPS devices and who took metal detectors and who took shovels and pickaxes and took all kinds. People who apparently were rappelling down cliffs in their zeal to search for this knowledge, to search for this treasure. The writer of Proverbs looks at us and says, you want to choose the fear of the Lord? Here's what it looks like. Search as for silver. Search and seek after it as if you're one of those treasure hunters going down into the Rocky Mountains trying to follow the clues for how to get there. Now let's look at each one of this list of things. First of all, it starts with a purpose. A purpose. Look at what verse 2 says. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. What does it mean to search after wisdom, to choose the fear of the Lord? It first involves inclining your ear. What does it mean to incline your ear? Some of you may have run on a treadmill before. I find them perfectly vile devices of torture, okay? They're just awful to me. They're horrible. But maybe some of you not only have run or walked on a treadmill, you know what those treadmills do? They incline. You can have it running straight uphill. Why do people torture themselves like this? I don't get it. But they're running uphill on this incline. In other words, an incline means a direction. The purpose of the one who is seeking is the one who is tilting their ear toward the information. Tilting, directing themselves, directing their ears to hear where wisdom is being spoken from. And the Bible says that is to what we are to look like. Our pursuit of wisdom is to be as for that, is to be inclined toward that. Not only inclined toward that, but we are to apply our hearts to understanding, to make it the settled purpose that we are going to be pursuing after the fear of the Lord, after the wisdom that is part of the fear of the Lord. It's our purpose. But notice also that it's our passion. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If you cry after knowledge and you lift up your voice for understanding, what does that mean? What does that mean? I heard a very tragic story, some of you have may as well. There's a musical group called the Piano Guys that some of you may have heard of. They're a group of guys that are very talented on the piano or on the cello. They produce these videos, these popular videos that have gone all over YouTube. One of the daughters of one of the musicians of the Piano Guys was going hiking in Oregon. by herself. She stopped responding to texts. And as they went out to search for her, they eventually called a searching party, a 21-year-old girl. They've not yet been able to find her. They eventually called off the search. You can imagine the heartbreak of a parent of a 21-year-old going hiking and not coming back. I want to ask you something. When the parent and the searching party went to look for that 21-year-old girl, do you think they had any qualms about lifting their voice and crying and screaming? Screaming for this girl named Annie. Annie, where are you? They were searching. And when you search and when you're desperate for something, you're going to lift your voice up. You're going to be heard. You're going to yell. You're going to scream. And in other words, what the proverb writer is telling us is that what this search for the fear of God looks like, what this choice looks like, is not only putting our ear in the right direction to the right place of where to listen, but let our passion, let our determination and our dedication be such as that it comes out our mouth. That we cry out to God in our prayer lives. Cry out to God when we're reading the Word to say, God, I need to get a little more wisdom today. God, I need to understand more of who you are. God, I need to hate evil a little more today than I had yesterday. God, I need this. Lift up your voice and cry. You see, that explains the kind of desperation to the person who says, God, if I don't have your fear of the Lord, I'm going to go off the path. God, if I'm not knowing you, I'm in trouble. Does that characterize, that kind of desperation characterize our lives? Third, the third characteristic of this choice is a priority. Look at Scripture says in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. In other words, there's a determination that takes place. A determination that says, this is my one goal. This is my priority above all else. I heard the story of this 31-year-old account executive who went out to search. He flew into Santa Fe. He took a car 3 hours to search. He started going up into the mountains, and as he tells the story, he ran into an elderly couple. And the elderly couple said, hey, you got to watch out, because right up ahead on the path, there are some bear cubs up there in the Rocky Mountains. And this probably city slicker from the East Coast said, oh, whatever. He kept on going up on the path till 15 minutes later, he heard some growling. He heard some growling, and he quickly determined that the search was probably not worth it. Do you know what this guy did? He said he hid himself until he pretty much stopped hyperventilating, and then he sprinted back down the trail and ran to his rental car and thought he'd had quite enough of the search. Now, I got to tell you about this guy. He may have been wise, but he wasn't all that determined. There was a bear that came along. He said, okay, you know what? I'm done with this. This is not that big a deal to me. Do you know some of that? That's like how our spiritual lives work. Do you know sometimes in our search for who God is, we are going down the path. We hear a sermon. We're excited. We're about to hit the trail. We get in and suddenly a temptation comes and we're suddenly quickly led right out the path. Oh, okay. Okay, God. Suddenly a distraction comes in the way, and suddenly our eyes are turning away from the focused search that we'd been having. No, the determined one is the one who sets the treasure ahead of them, the value of that wisdom from God ahead of them, and said, God, I don't care what comes into my way, I'm getting there. God, I don't care how difficult it is, I don't care what areas of my life I have to cut out. I don't care what things that I enjoy doing, I'm going to stop doing. My first priority in life is finding you, and so I'm going to seek you like I mean it. Now, if we were to compare the priority that those who are treasure hunters put on really valuable treasure versus the priority that we put on seeking God, what kind of difference would we see? What kind of distinction would we see, sadly, between those who are pursuing what this world has to offer and instead what we are commanded to pursue? If thou criest after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding. You notice that in each of these things, there's different parts. This search applies to different parts of how we live. The first one, if thou incline thine ear and apply thine heart, is referring to what you hear. What is coming? What are you bringing into your ear throughout the day? And how does it relate to your search for God? What is coming into your ears and into your eyes and into your heart and into your mind day after day? What are you bringing into it? And does it relate to your search for God and for His will and wisdom for you? Notice what the second thing is. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, in other words, it's what comes out of your mouth. Scripture says, what the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. You want to know what you love? Just listen to what you say. Because what you love is going to come out your mouth. What do you talk about all the time? What do you talk about throughout the day? The person who is seeking God and choosing the fear of the Lord for himself or herself is the one who the words of God just start coming out of his mouth. The desire to seek God comes out of his mouth in prayer. This is what this person looks like. It comes in the ear. It goes out the mouth. And then verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, what do you do? What do your actions show about whether you are seeking God with all your heart, whether you are pursuing wisdom? You see, friend, the characteristics of the choice to fear God are that the person who really wants to fear God will pursue God, will follow after him with a desire to attain what God has. And the question for us is, in what ways is our own complacency, is our own satisfaction with where we are in our spiritual lives right now, with where our fear of the Lord is right now, in what ways is that holding us back from the fear of the Lord that we have been evaluating here over the last number of weeks? If the sole factor in whether you feared God was how much you pursued God, how much do you fear God? That's the question for each of us today, and it is the instruction that this wise father wants to give to his son. Do you want to receive my words? Do you want to take my commandments inside you and apply them? Well, then start pursuing. Start pursuing wisdom. Start pursuing understanding. Start pursuing God's mind on things in the Word of God and on your knees in prayer. When the Word of God is preached from the pulpit, when the Word of God is shared among one another, when we challenge and encourage and inspire one another. Oh, may we be those who are choosing the fear of the Lord. So first of all, we see choosing. Secondly, we see seeking in these three different characteristics. And third, we see finding. Scripture says in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The promise of God to you, my friend, is that if you seek for wisdom with all your heart, you will find it. That's a promise. Take it to the bank. Do you know this is the wonderful nature of God? The nature of God, as Jeremiah 29 says, is that you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. It is the nature of God, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Why? Because that is who God is. He says there's no mystery about whether you're going to be able to have a relationship with me. Seek me and you'll find me. There's no big question. There's no big riddle out there about how to have a walk with God, how to fear the Lord, how to be wise. Just pursue God with all your heart and you'll find it. Why? Because God says this is who I am. It's no accident that Jesus, in his very first beatitude, as I've said, said, blessed is the what? The poor in spirit. The one who has made the choice to say, I need what you have because I don't have it. I don't naturally fear the Lord. As Romans 3 says, the fear of God is not before their eyes. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. And our heart says to us, that's right. My nature is not to fear the Lord. So I say, God, I need to fear you. I can't. I don't. And God says to that humble one, God says to that contrite one who's not satisfied with where their Christianity is right now, who doesn't think they're good enough right now, they're getting along just fine in their walk with God, they're getting enough from the Word of God, their prayer life is where it needs to be. Those who are willing to admit it and say, God, I need it. God says, seek me with all your heart and you'll find me. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. Seek me and you will find me. But notice that this confidence is not just in the promise of God, you will find me. It's related to the nature of God. But why can we have such confidence that when we seek God, we will find him? Notice what Scripture says here in verse 6. Why? Because the Lord giveth wisdom. When you seek him, when you seek wisdom and you pursue after him, God says, here, I'll give it. In other words, when we pursue God, we're not trying to earn something that he doesn't want to give us. We're not trying to pry open the hand of God and pry away from his fingers something that he doesn't want to give us. No, when we seek God with all our heart, God says, here, I've been wanting to give you this the whole time. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't say no to anyone, and it shall be given him. The question is, are you going to meet the condition? If you make that choice, if you seek him, if you search for him, if you make it your settled priority to find God, God says, I'm more than happy to give. I'm more than happy to offer it to you. You know, I love the testimony of those who have been true seekers. I love the testimony of those who have made it their motive and their goal in life to find God, whatever that looks like. I remember our sister Joan here when she was baptized. Some of you were here for her testimony. Her testimony of how she went from one religion to another, desperately seeking after God, looking at all the systems of the world with a heart really that wanted God. And one day the light went on. One day the light went on in Sister Joan's life, and she says, I found it. What happened? If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me, God says. If you seek me. And friend, the question for those of us who recognize that they don't fear God like they should this morning. We talked about in Sunday school whether you hear the voice of God and know his voice. If some of you said in Sunday school this morning, I don't hear God's voice like I need to. I don't know the voice of God. I get distracted by other voices. This passage applies to you too. If you seek him, you'll find him. If you pursue his voice, you'll hear his voice. If you seek him with all your heart. What a wonderful thing that God gives wisdom. Colossians 2 tells us that in Jesus Christ is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Every single treasure of wisdom. You know, when wisdom is speaking here throughout Proverbs, we could say it's Jesus Christ speaking, because in him is all wisdom. In him is the mind of God. In him is the word of God that goes forth. It is Jesus Christ that when we seek wisdom, we're really seeking him. He is the fountain. He is the source of all of it. Oh, friend, I put before you this confidence this morning. I put before you the confidence that if you pursue God, you will find him. And my question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it that if you cut out the distractions in your life so you can pursue him better, it'll be worthwhile? Do you believe it that if you're not content with where your Christianity is, if you step out and pursue him with all your heart, you'll find him and you'll experience the fullness of God? Do you believe it? Because if you don't believe it, then there's no point. then that will you will never take that step. Friends, what are we getting to? We're getting down to the basis of Christianity itself. Christianity is about faith. My Bible tells me about what faith is. It says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." In other words, that he exists. Do you believe that God exists this morning? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what faith is. That's what faith looks like. To say, "God, I'm not where I need to be today. But you promise that if I diligently seek you, you will reward me. That if I want to get my Christian life to a higher ground that it's not at yet. If I want to hear your voice this week in a way I haven't heard it. If I want to see you working through my life more than I have in the past. To say, God, you promised. And so I'm going to do whatever's necessary to seek you. And I'm going to take you at your word." Friends, think of our friend Forrest Fenn. Forrest Fenn, a man who buried $2 million worth of jewels in the ground. A lot of people, tens of thousands of people, have taken his word at it. They've taken his word at face value that he's not telling them a lie, and now secretly laughing because all these people are wasting their lives to pursue after his treasure. They're taking him at his word. They're saying, "I believe you, and so I'm going to go look for it." And what excuse do we have as Christians to take the inestimable treasure of the Word of God, of our relationships with God, and be less focused on it than these people, tens of thousands of people who give up their lives and put it on hold to go search for something that they can't take with them? What excuse do we have for not taking God at His Word when He says, "If you make it your settled priority to seek me, I promise you, you will find me"? Oh, friends, may these three verbs apply to you today and this week and always. Choosing, seeking, finding. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Oh, we thank you, Father, that you are so good. Thank you that you are so good to those that seek. It's because, Father, you resist the proud who don't think they need you, who don't think they need to get closer to you. But you give grace to the humble. You give wisdom to the humble. You give your life, you give of your life and your blessing to the humble. Father, humble us this morning. Bring us to the point where we decide that I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. May we leave here this morning as renewed seekers, looking ahead to your promise of being finders. Let's pause for a few moments and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart. In what way aren't you seeking? In what way does your searching need to be a greater priority than it's been? Friend, you can know the fear of the Lord. You can understand who God is. You can live in the light of His Word. The question is, will you seek Him? While our heads are bowed, perhaps there's someone who's never sought God when it comes to the matter of their salvation. They don't know whether if they died today, they'd go to heaven or to hell. Oh, that's the first step, my friend. Is there anyone who would come this morning, slip out from where they're seated and come to these steps and say, "I need to seek out whether I'm saved, whether I'm the child of God this morning"? Is there anyone who would come? I'm going to ask our brother Ron to come and close us in prayer.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, that we are able to come here freely to openly worship you and learn your word. And I pray that each and every one of us will choose to fear you, not as a big daddy in the sky, but as a loving father who is caring and forgiving, that our fear is that we do not please him. May each and every one of us seek you this week when we're tempted by the lures of the world, that you put it upon our heart that there are things in front of us that are not right. We ask that you will guide us and give us the strength to do what is right so that we do please you. And Lord, the people that are seeking you, let them find you this week. Let there be nuggets of that treasure. Let it be an encouragement that fearing the Lord is not a bad thing, but a good thing. That each and every one of us can be a light and be testimony that we can bring forth into our families, our workplace, our community. In this we ask, dear God, amen.